Okay, so this is the most common, hands down, Zimun mistake. Hands down, hands down. So we're going to act out as Zimun again, and I'm opening up a sitter so I don't botch it again. Okay, here we go. Okay, ready? I'm going to be, that was last week's botch. This is the bigger botch. This is every single Zimun I think I've ever been to. This always happens. I mean, maybe I'm giving people less credit, but I definitely have botched it myself. Okay, ready? I'm going to be the leader, okay? Don't say Hashem's name. You can join me in this Zimun, okay? Don't say Hashem's name. Rabbi Osai Mervelin Benchin, for Yiddish speakers, yeah? Rabbi Osai Mervelin Benchin. Yeah, now you say Hashem Rachman. Okay. We have more than 10 people here. And I say, Yishi Yishem Hashem Rachman Tod Olam, right? Bershus, Mernam Ramasai, Nevarach Shachanu Mishalo. I didn't say that. Now, what do you do, big talkers? And now, what do I do, big talkers? You know? Right now, stop.
Say it over.
Okay. Halacha number one. Good. You led us right in the right path. Halacha number one is you all freeze. Yeah? I have a lot of freezers over here who don't do a thing after I botch it. Or you start yelling at me.
You start yelling.
Of course, of course, of course. Of course. Of course. Well, first you got to freeze to yell. First there's a silence. There's a split second of silence. Then everyone starts throwing, oh, okay, fine. So now what do you do? So Shulchan Aruch easily addresses this one. This is a lob. This is an easy one. Imta hamezamin, if the leader botches it, biasar, with 10 people, v'onin, and the answerers, v'imta hamezamin biasar v'onin, v'lo hiskiro kenu, ein yicholin lachsar. So let's go slowly. If everyone forgets, so in other words, let's start even an earlier case. Let's say you're all dumb, and you just follow what I do. Yeah? Follow the dumb leader over here. I could be the dumbest one because I messed up. So I say, if let's say I said, Yishem Hashem Rechem Etov Adolam Rishos, and I said, Nevarach Shachar Mishalo, and you just all repeat it after me, Nevarach Shachar Mishalo Zvachinu, and I say, Nevarach Shachar Mishalo Zvachinu, and then we all realize, whoops, we botched it. That point, that's the easiest case. Says Shulchan Aruch, Ein Yecholin Lachzer. You don't, you're not allowed to go back, you don't go back, you continue benching. Why? Why over here? Because Bidiyeved, in a messed up situation, says the Mishnah Berurah, because to Bidiyeved, Yatsu Bezimun below shame. We didn't get the benefit of saying God's name in the Zimun, but we did a Zimun. Game over. That's case number one. Okay. Case number two is what we just all said. I forget to do it, but of course you jump on me. Now what happens? Says Shulchan Aruch, also an easy one. Avo imadayin lo anu achrav. If they haven't yet answered me yet, so in other words, y'all's throwing things at me, and I just said baruch shachan, I just said nevarach shachan mishlo, but I didn't say, you didn't say anything. You all jump on me. So then Shulchan Aruch has an easy one also. Yachzer v'yazmin b'shem. I repeat it, I say, Yishay. Now this is where I got confused. I guess you repeat it, repeat from where? Presumably I just repeat the previous phrase. No? I don't have to go back and say Rabbi Sain of Erech again, presumably, I think. And I just say, Yishay, I guess I say Yishay Hashem. No, I say God's name again. No? So I just go back.
You should say Bishus.
Maybe just
say Bishus. I don't know.
Hashem's name.
You don't think I say Yishem Hashem, it's all no. Part of the same thing?
You already said
Mr. Buddha, Shulchan Aruch doesn't...
That?
Yeah, but it's one phrase.
Nobody else responded to that one.
So you think I would just go back and say... So I said Yishem Hashem Rechem Etov Adolam, that's fine. I said God's name there, obviously. Right. Then I say, Bershus Marnam Rabbanam Rosai Nevarach Shacham Yisrael. You all scream at me? So you would say I go back to Bershus Marnam. Okay, so it's unclear from Shulchan Aruch. He just says, I'm a Madain lo anu akrav, Yachzer v'yazmin b'shem.
Yeah. Actually, if it's quick enough, you just go to the
word. You think I just say, okay, I just say, Nevar. Well, I probably should say, I hear you. I go back and say the whole phrase again. Unclear. Saying, okay, it's unclear. It's so unclear.
Why would you repeat Hashem's name?
Unless it all has to go together. That would be the counter-argument. Oh, well. I don't know. Shulchan Aruch just says, Im adayinu anu akrav, yachzer v'yazmin b'shem. Let's assume you're right, because I have no reason to think you're right.
The only thing you need to be chos, what
I messed up.
What you messed up.
But unless you say it's a unit, I'm not sure. I think by default, I think you're correct because I don't have any reason to prove to you that it's all one unit, and there's a period in between, so it's a new pasuk.
Right,
exactly. Art scrolls period. Art scrolls period gives you a
on the same line.
Yeah, the same line. It could be Madaik and art scroll. Yeah, you sent me an art scroll, different art scroll. Yes, two people sent me art scroll, different art scrolls. So I say at least someone's listening. Phew. Okay. So you got okay. So I think that one is a clear one. So case number one is pretty clear. If everyone forgets, we're talking about missing Elkeinu in the leader forgets Elkeinu. So if we all forget, I forget, you forget, then I forget, very easy case, we go back, we don't go back and repeat Zimun, we just continue benching. If I forget the first one, Nivarich, and you all jump on me before you do anything, then it's very easy. I go back. Presumably we're saying I go back to Nivarich Elkeinu Shecham Yisrael, I just say those words. Case number one, case number two, check. Okay.
This is that you don't go back. Is it you don't have to go back? You're not allowed.
To go back. In case number one, you would not be allowed to go back
because you'd be. Haven't said anything. It's Baruch Shem.
Well, you said Yishem Hashem.
I didn't say the Shem Hashem in the.
I hear you. I hear you. You're saying why can't you go back?
Yeah, why can't you?
I hear you. That's a good point. The way it is because b'diavad you were yotzei. So if you're b'diavad yotzei already, maybe that's what Mishnah Berurah is trying to tell you. In the case number one, when we all forget everything, we're already yotzei zimun. So you could go back if you want, but then it's going to be a hefsek to that in benching. So in other words, you fulfilled it. You did a poor job. I wouldn't ask me to be the leader again next time. You know. But what I would do is you don't have to do anything. So that's case number one. Case number two is good. Okay. Now we get a little bit more complicated.
Gain anything by going back.
Right, if anything,
you're
also messing now. Correct.
You wouldn't gain anything.
That's why Mishnah Berurah says, be the every yotzei. And not only that, you'd be negative because it would be detrimental because you are supposed to start benching and now you're having a hefsek in between. But it means in this b'di'evit situation that you right.
You covered Hashem by saying his name.
Right, that's
you're
a good point.
Losing hefsek, you're
right, using hefsek. You're yotzei. That's why Mishnah Berurah says you're yotzei. In case someone you're yotzei, right? If you do a bad job at something, you're still yotzei, right? I don't know. Your wife tells you to fix a leak of a plumb. So go to the. You fix the leak. You do a junky job, but you're done. You know, you don't go back and then you move on. You wait till it leaks again, and then you get yelled at, and then you'll do fix it again. But if you do it, you do it. You don't go back and keep on trying to do better. I don't know who does that. Okay, next case. Okay, now the leader forgets Nevarach Shachanu. Okay, I just say Nevarach Shachanu Mishlo, but everyone here remembers. So in other words, you don't correct me because you're very, very respectful over here. Maybe it's not this crowd, but okay. Other crowds would be more respectful. And I say, Nivarach Shachal Mishol. This is really probably what usually happens at this point because at this point, people don't really think so much if the leader says they're just focused on their own thing and they just go on. And everyone, okay, be very careful what I'm, my terminology. Every single person says, Baruch Elokeinu Shachal Mishol Tvokhainu. Now, what do I do?
Nothing. You continue.
I continue. Excellent. What do I say? Okay. Baruch, huh? Okay. You say, now I go back and I say,
as
Baruch.
As a response.
So you're telling me, even though, keep in mind, I'm just setting you up, even though I didn't say Elokeinu the first time, you're telling me I didn't botch, I didn't end my opportunity to say Elokeinu's. You're saying, everyone says, Baruch Elokeinu Shachar Mishol Tvokhainu, and now I have an opportunity to say again, Baruch Elokeinu Shachar Mishol. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because why would you compound the...
Why would I compound it? So you're assuming I'm allowed to. Says the Mishnah Berurah, he addresses this exact question. He says, according to everyone, Imheim Amru B'Shem, so I botched it, and then they say B'Shem, Yocho Gamhu Lachzar Velomar Baruch Elokeinu. I'm allowed to then, in that third phrase, Baruch Elokeinu, I'm allowed to say Elokeinu. After Nivarech Amr Below Shem. Even though I botched line number one, since you guys did line number two correctly, I can do line number three correctly. All is good in the world of Torah? Yeah? So far, so good. We go to case, what are we up to? Case number four. Okay. I forget Elokeinu. And all of you, every single one of you, forget it as well. So I say, Nevarach Shachar Mishlo, and you guys all just copying me say, Baruch Shachar Mishlo Tvokhainu. Then I remember. Now what do I do with that third phrase?
You go back.
No, you don't.
I don't go back. I can't go back.
But then you do the
yes or no, correct or don't correct. Vote if you think that yes, if you think that I correct and I'm now allowed to say, okay, now let's remember, I'm just setting you up. Wait, before you vote out, let me set it up a little bit clearer. 1 second. Let's set up the facts. Keep in mind, I forgot, you all forgot, and now it's this final phrase, can I say a volcano or not? The risk here, let me just scare you a little bit. Hello. God's name in vain. It's on the tablets over here. I'm saying Saras and Dibros. Okay, but just keep in mind you're dealing with one of the Big Ten. I mean,
it's written in art scroll.
Well, where does art scroll say that? I don't see that. It's written in art scroll, but that's all assuming you do one and line two correct.
Properly.
Yeah. Okay. Raise your hand if you say okay. No. Okay. It's about 8-7. Okay. Raise your hand if you don't say okay. Okay, 5, 6, and the rest are abstentions. Okay, says the Mishnah Berurah, guess what? You're both correct. It's a machlokas. Here we go. He says, so everyone, these cases where I forget, you all forget, v'im yachol ha-mezamein lachs or acher kach v'lomer baruch ha-okeinu, am I allowed to go say okeinu? Oh, sh'tzarech lomer gamkein below shame, or do I now lose my opportunity to say God's name? Me'acher sha'onim amru mitchila below shame, because you guys all botched it also, so now maybe the game is over. Says Mishnah Berurah, yesh deyos bein ha'achronim. There are different dissenting opinions amongst the later commentaries, and he says, look at the Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva says, it's a machlokas to Shiurei Bracha, who says, no Elokeinu, and the Prichardash says, yes Elokeinu. Okay. All good. Let's assume you're right. The yes Elokeinus, let's assume there are more votes for that, so let's assume, even though Mishnah Berurah doesn't give you any Hechreya, any answer. Let's assume you could say Elokeinu in this situation. Okay. But you're going against a Shari Bracha. Actually, let's flip it, because it'll be more, you can say it either way. It doesn't make a difference. Now, what about one other case, our final case? And then we'll have to say...
Do they say what the logic is?
So they don't really...
What's
it's,
wrong with the so, other...
So you're not being fair to me, because you have a good question. I have three answers to this, but... I'm happy to tell you after, because I think I'm going to lose myself and lose everyone else here. Right? So you're going on there, but we'll tell you afterwards. It's a good point. There are actually, I think there's three ways to explain this machlokas, but I'm going to leave this as extra credit. Okay, good point. Final case, and then I got to tell you the most unbelievable story. Yeah, this is probably the most common case. Yeah, Yaakov's with me on this. Yeah, the most common case. You forget Elokeinu, okay? Leader forgets Elokeinu, and in a room of 20 people, half say Elokeinu, half don't, which is what always happens. Now what do you do? According to the Pre-Chodesh, it's very easy. Of course, I can go back and say Elokeinu, because even if you all forgot, I can always say Elokeinu again at the end. But what about according to that Shari Bracha? That was a machlokas before. I don't like getting into machloksim. Is this an easy one? Can everyone over here now agree that if at least one individual of a participant says Elokeinu, now do I have a license to go back and say Elokeinu or not?
Maybe if 10 said
Elokeinu. Maybe if 10, I hear you. But that's a tough. You're a tough man. Because often you only have 11, 12 people, and I always, if you look around, always have to say Elokeinu, half. No one knows what to do. It's like always a weird, and you have 10 seconds or 3 seconds to make a decision. No one knows what to do. Right. So what do you do in this situation? The answer is, it is not in Poskim. I did not see this in Poskim. And perhaps you could suggest.
When he says his second, the last Elokeinu, yeah. Doesn't that cover everything? In other words, why do you have to go
back? That's not what he's saying. He's saying that half didn't.
Half said the second line. Right. So in other words, I forget Nevarach Elokeinu. I just say Nevarach Shecham Yishuvahu. Half, this side of the room says Baruch Elokeinu. This side of the room says Baruch Shechanu. What do I do? If everyone forgot it, according to Shari Brach, I'm not going to go back and say Elokeinu. Why not? You know why not?
I'm saying the Baruch Elokeinu.
Even the Shari Brach says, I can't go now the next line. I can't say Baruch Elokeinu. Says the Shari Brach, if all of you forgot, I would have to start the last line, Baruch Shachal Mishalot
Tvokhinim. But according to him, yeah, he would assume that if one remembered...
How do you know that, Shaul?
Because he said if all of them
did... Okay, yeah, but when he says the cases, we're talking about a case where all forgot. He doesn't say what the halacha would be if one did, but I think you're right. I think that the answer is, even the Shari Bracha would agree, that if as long as one person does it, then I can repeat it. Why? Because line number one is my key line, according to Vishari Bracha. And guess what? If I don't say, okay, no, I can't go back, I botched it, I messed up that first line. But you guys can, in your line number two, if at least one of you is a Talmud Chacham and actually says Elokeinu, then what is the point of line three? Why does the leader say line three at all? You know what he is? He's just copying line two. He's supposed to just end off. The way it works is that you say your key line, I say my key line, you say your key line, then I just like copy you and end off that way. So if I'm supposed to just copy you line three to line two, as long as one of you is worthy of being copying, of being copied, then I can say it. And maybe that's what I would suggest. So I think, to sum up the halacha part of this, is that I think halacha l'maisa, if one of you say, okay, this is the most common case, leader forgets Nevarach Elokeinu. One of you says Baruch Elokeinu, I think the leader should go back and say Baruch Elokeinu Shachar Mishalot Tvachim. Fine. That's the halacha. I need to end with the most
sick for you to... Everybody bumbles. You have no idea.
Right, what
who
people
said
say.
What? Would it be a hefsek for you to say,
did anyone
somebody
say
Elokeinu?
I think so. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think so.
But how else would you know what to do?
Because most of the time,
I mean, whole shayla about Baruch Shemo as far as the
right, yeah, it's sure yeah. Well, unless you think it's part of it, I think usually you could hear. Because usually you could hear. But usually there's one guy who screams. No, but usually there's one guy who always says, "Okay, no Baruch, okay."
But I'm saying in a case where you don't know what the people said, you're not paying attention.
I hear you. I think I heard the caution. Maybe I already started a caution and don't say it.
Is anybody going to know what to do? Really.
And you have a Shari Bracha, which says you don't say it of all of them. So I think you have a room to rely upon not to say it. If you don't know what people said, if you forget it and you don't hear anyone say Elokeinu, I think you don't say it then. I don't think so.
But if it's worse than have sick, okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Can you ask people?
You're supposed to be responding to them, though.
Right. You're correct. But if you don't know what they said and you botched it first, look, I looked for it. The Poskim don't talk about that case where one says and others don't. They talk about if everyone doesn't say, everyone says. But now you have to try to extrapolate, like Shalom tried to do. Okay.
Isn't the same thing going on with Baruch Hu, whether it's for an Aliyah or whether it's your davening Ma'ariv? You know, you have a small minyan and the chazan or the person getting up to the Torah says Baruch Hu, and you hear just a bunch of mumbling going on.
I hear you, but yeah, you could assume he did the right thing. I don't think you could assume it.
He said Baruch Hu Hashem Baruch Hu, but and then the people are supposed to say Baruch Hashem Baruch Hu Avoid. And you just hear
nothing, or
there's no answer at all.
Yeah, I hear you. He still says, but that's because it's a bracha on the Torah. I hear you. Maybe that's a little bit different. I hear you.
Okay, he's saying Hashem's
but it's on the Torah. But it's on the Torah. There, it's on the Torah. You're making a bracha on the Torah. I hear you. It's similar. Maybe it's. I have to think about it. Let me think about it. It's a good point. Okay, so now I saw the most wildest story. My father gets a ton of svarim. Fortunately, he often gets a lot of double svarim. So anytime he gets double svarim, I get to be the beneficiary. So he gave me this English art scroll sefer called this new book. It came up by a Mechel Handel. I don't even know who that is. But a Mechel Handel, Talmud Chacham, who wrote a book on blessings. It's called Blessings. So I said, oh, it's a good book to look to get a story for this Chabura. So I flip it open about, the importance of saying God's name correctly over here, which is the whole Chabura. And he says this wild, most outlandish story I've ever heard in my life. Fortunately, he has a footnote on there, or he like puts in parentheses. It's from the Sefer Tamei Minhagim, and so I look it up. I found it in Hebrew, so it's a legit, legit story. Now, I can't give you any explanation of this story, but it's a legit story, okay? Rav Moshe Gjalanti was the Rebbe of the Pri Chadash. He lived at the end of 1600s, in part of the Kabbalistic era over here, so that may color of a story for you a little bit. And apparently he was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, but not only was he an unbelievable Talmud Chacham, he knew all the seven Chachmas, it says. Sciences and whatever, okay, whatever the seven Chachmas are, he knew them all. He was world-renowned, okay? There was one other individual in the world who was supposed to be as smart as him, and he was a sheikh in Damascus. It comes as, I'm telling you, you just blow your mind away. I had to find this in Hebrew because I couldn't get over this story, okay? But it's written there. I wasn't going to bring it, but it's too long in Hebrew to read it to you in Hebrew. But if anyone wants the source, I'll show it to you in Hebrew, yeah? He says like this. He says, so the sheik heard about Rav Moshe Jalanty, and Rav Moshe Jalanty heard about this sheik. Fine. The only thing that Rav Moshe Jalanty heard about this sheik, and he's so smart, is he's got an extra power. He knows how to do something that Rav Moshe doesn't know how to do. The sheik is like a doctor. You could go to the sheik. He takes a look at you. You tell him your ailments. He goes out of the room for a half hour. He comes back and he can tell you if you're going to live or if you're going to die. Azoy zokt. This is what he says. The sheik has this unbelievable power to tell you. He's able to, so smart, he can understand your ailment and tell you if there's a cure, not the cure, if you're going to live, die, etc. Fine. Okay. Rav Moshe says, I got to meet the sheik. I am a tzaddik, he says. I learn all day. I'm a Talmud Chacham. How come I don't have this power and the sheik in Damascus has this power? Now, apparently the sheik was a recluse. He stayed in his house. He had to get appointments by him. Sounds like Chassidus Rebbe. But like, you know, he stays in his house. You have to get appointments to get there. And it was very hard. So Rav Moshe sends his gabbai to go to the sheik. He sends the gabbai to the sheik. He tells the shriach, tell the Rav sheik, I need an appointment with him. Gabbai goes to the sheik. The sheik hears that Rav Moshe wants to see him. And he knows, the sheik knows, how many people in the world know the seven chachmas and say are so smart. The sheik knows about Moshe. He says, I'd be delighted if he'd come visit me. Fine. So Moshe packs his bags and he heads to Damascus. Okay? He goes to meet the sheik. The sheik is very excited to meet Moshe. And he asks Moshe, do you know this chachma, one of the seven chachmas? Moshe starts hacking with him with the chachma, this back and forth. They spend hours going back and forth. The sheik is duly impressed. He says, you are as smart as I had heard. Can you please come back next week and we'll have a weekly session? At least I want to talk to you. Conversing, we're talking the seven chachmas. Comes back next week, same day, Tuesday, whatever it was. And the sheik is excited to see him. And he says, okay, let's talk about this chachma. They go back and forth. Sheik is very excited. He says, come back next week. In the middle of the week, they send a messenger to Rav Moshe. The sheik can't go a whole week without seeing you. He's so excited that he finally found someone who mamish knows the chachmas that he wants you to come tomorrow. So he comes tomorrow. Sheik gives him a hug. Says, really, this has been so enlightening to me. Let's talk about this chachma. This goes on for a few weeks. Now we almost have daily chavrusas, whatever it is. And Rav Moshe is doing this l'shem shemayim. He's got one motive in mind, one goal. He wants to get that special power. At some point, the sheik says to Rav Moshe, I'll tell you a secret. I don't know a certain chachma. Can you explain this chachma to me? And Rav Moshe says, of course I know that chachma. I could explain that to you. So the sheik says, how much do you want? Any, pick a price, I'll pay it. I'm a sheik. Yeah, I got oodles and oodles of cash. You just tell me what you want. But Moshe says, chas v'shalom, I should take money from you? He says, all I want to know is, I want to know, you have a chachma that I don't have. Can you teach me how you know the difference if someone's going to live or someone's going to die? Fine. The sheik gasps. He says, I can't. I can't tell you. Moshe says, why not? He says, I've sworn to my fathers and my grandfathers that I cannot reveal the secret. And Moshe says, unfortunately, I've sworn also I can't tell you this other chachma. So the sheik says, what am I supposed to do? And Moshe says, I got an idea. You could break your shvuah. You could undo your swear if it's for your benefit, he says to him. So it's for your benefit to tell me the secret about life and death, because I'm going to teach you the other chachma you don't know. So Moshe says, I don't know. The sheik says, let me think about this. The sheik thinks about it for a day, and he says, fine. I'm going to tell you I'm going to teach you my secret. You can teach me the chachma, but on one condition. You got to follow everything I do, and don't ask any questions. I mean, you can ask questions, but don't deviate from anything I tell you. Yeah, everything exactly I tell you, you got to follow. So Moshe says, fine. The sheik says, okay, this is what you got to do. Go home, fast for 2 full days. 2 full days. Don't eat anything. When you break your fast, don't eat meat and don't drink wine and come to me on the 3rd day. Okay. He goes home. Rav Moshe fasts for 2 days. He doesn't break his fast even. He comes to the sheik emaciated, weak as anything on the morning of the 3rd day. And the sheik says, oh, I see you did it correctly. Look, you look so weak. This is what we're going to do. Follow me. They go to the mikvah. They dip in the mikvah. Fine. Then the sheik says, follow me. They go to a beautiful, ornate house. And the sheik says, see this key? It's the only key to get into this house in the entire world. Open up the door to the house. They enter. In the house, they go through a passageway to the back entrance. And they walk out the back entrance. There's a whole garden. And there's a bench with 2 white cloves. White sets of cloves. Sheik says, I set this up for you. And there's a brook here. Go to the mikvah. Dip in the mikvah right here. There's a brook here. We'll put on, both of us will put on this white clothes. He does what he says. Moshe follows him. And fine, they're wearing white in the mikvah. Sheik says, follow me. They go down the path of the garden into a huge, the most beautiful door you've ever seen. Gold, diamonds everywhere to this house. They open up. It's a sheik. I'm saying it's Damascus. And so they go to the door. And the sheik says to Moshe, watch what I do and follow me. He opens up the door. And the sheik bows to the floor 7 times. Moshe's thinking to himself, what am I supposed to do? I have no idea what's in this house. There's like a whole curtain over there. Like, you know, picture like Wizard of Oz, yeah? He goes, that's the best Dimion I could think of, yeah? You go in there. I don't know what I'm about to. So Moshe says to himself, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. And he bows. Because God is always with me. And he bows. Very, very nervous that he did the right thing, not the right thing. The sheik says, go undo the cover. Undo that, like, you know, the preiches over there. And see what's behind it. Undoes it. There is 4 letters there. Yud, K, Vav, K. And this gold, gorgeous diamonds all over the letters. The sheik says, see those letters? That's the person that created the world. Sheik says, no one knows about this, these letters. She didn't. That's what this says in Sefer. No one knows. It's Yud, K, Vav, K. What I do is, every time someone comes to me, I come into this room, I dip in the mikvah, I bow 7 times, I'm very careful, I look at the letters, I don't say a word, he says, and if it lights up, or if it gets colored, whatever it is, sorry, I know he's going to live. If it doesn't, I know the person's going to die. And he says, let's leave this room. And they back out slowly, and he leaves the room. And Rav Moshe goes home, and Rav Moshe writes in the Sefer, I broke down crying. That a goy has such respect for Shem Hashem, and we say Shem Hashem countless number of times in our tefillah. We don't go to the mikvah beforehand. We don't wear white. But we're using the Shem Hashem for davening, for all our things, and we violate it. We don't give it any respect. How many times do we forget Elokeinu in benching? Because we don't care about God's name at all. Says Rav Moshe, it was a musr to us. That's how to respect God's name. We should be zocha, that we should treat Hashem's name, that we should never, ever again, this chabura should be the most worthless chabura you've ever gone to. We should never forget Elokeinu when it's need to be said.